Everybody falls sometimes. We've gotta have the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now, the sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains, hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky. Hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water. It'll be alright. Life is so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep what faith can do. Overcome the odds when you don't have a chance. When the world says you can't, faith will tell you that you can. I've seen dreams that move the mountains, hope that doesn't end. Even when the sky is falling, I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. That's what faith can do. The strength to rise.
That was beautiful, thank you. So, ready or not, here comes Christmas, right? For those of you here today who may not identify solely with Christianity, rest assured, I think that there is something valuable in this message for all of us. After all, Jesus himself was not a Christian. That's kind of a funny thing there. Okay, all right, there you go. Yes. And he was a rabbi, a master teacher who turned no one away, even those who his own faith had deemed unworthy out of the circle, right? I think the true meaning, the true teaching, the true lesson that emanates through the Christmas message in my mind is, regardless of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which can be powerful, no doubt, the message is larger than him. It's that We are all an individual expression of that one holy light by whatever faith you may know it, or name you may know it, or path you may follow. The whole of humanity is an expression of that light, and ultimately no one is excluded despite our own human propensity and in the name of religion to exclude some. That is not the work of God, that's the work of humans, trying to understand God in a way that can sometimes become painful and harmful. So I really invite us all to take a fresh look at this message. You know, boy, the older you get, the more you're like, here it comes again. Maybe that's just me. Because there's a lot to it. It holds a lot of tradition, a lot of nostalgia, a lot of commerce. Yes, and I guess I am getting older, because I'm looking at that like, where did that get so overdone? And be careful what you start with your kids, because they come to expect it. And even like our, well, like I was a, before I was a step-parent, I was an aunt, and my friend would tell me, please don't bring them, and I was like, oh, I'm bringing them stuff. Because I wasn't going to be the aunt that didn't bring them stuff. But they didn't need any more stuff. And then they had all this stuff, and every year they expect all this stuff. And it's not that I think the essence of gathering and of giving each other gifts and of sharing love and connection is wonderful. It's just, like many things, how it's become commercialized is a little disappointing. And we can change that. You know, we're part of that. So I'll just remind us of that. So I invite us all to take a fresh look at the season. The comfort that we find in the traditions and nostalgia, of course, but really consider what it's all about. It's a fantastic story, of course. But what meaning does it hold for us today? Father Richard Rohr speaks of Advent in terms of a time to be awake, aware, alert, and attentive. Advent is above all else a call to full consciousness. So to become really conscious of this connection, of this power, this presence that we are claiming and growing into, and not that it's somewhere out there or it happened to this baby 2,000 years ago. Like, it's relevant to us now. The story of Jesus is one that is a story of us, for us, to know that within ourselves, to claim that. What is that? It is that we too are expressions of God, that we too have access within our own hearts and minds to all that we can imagine God to be. And then the question becomes, what are we imagining God to be? How big is it? And are we worthy, are we capable of accepting that that is the essence of us as well? Boy, and when we are, and when we do, how we show up radiates. We radiate more of that light. Doesn't mean, of course, we don't have challenges, we don't make mistakes. Of course we do. And we have this light within us to guide us through those. Learning, as Eric Butterworth was fond of saying, don't just get through life, grow through life. And I know you're saying, but do you know how many meals I have to do and packages I have to wrap? And I know, it's like, really? This is an interesting paradox here, that we have all this to do when it's a time to really reflect on all that we are. And I think, I'm going to hold off on what I think. So regardless of the path or the messenger that you follow, until we awaken to the light within us, we remain in the darkness. We are unaware of it. It doesn't exist to us. So we have to be curious and perceptive, alert, attentive to this yearning, this light within us. Light as a metaphor for the awakening, for this awakening, is a theme in all the major faith traditions, which Shireen invited you and pointed out in our multi-faith seasons of light display out in the narthex. Literally, of course, seasonally, the reliance on light as a path out of darkness makes sense. This happens, is often set in the darkest time of the year. To really radiate, we can't do stuff out here. We need to attend and pull in and find the light within us. Nurture that, attend to that. Recognizing even the wisdom of the cycles of the seasons support us in that. I read an article in Unity Magazine by Reverend Jackie Fernandez, actually was the impetus for that display out there. And she says this, that the winter months give us the rest and stillness necessary to repair and prepare for spring renewal. Whether we are in the winter of earth, or in a seeming winter of the heart, or even the aging process we call the winter of life, there is a deep soul preparation at work, preparing for what is coming next. The internal, listen to this, the internal harvest of the past year, all you have experienced in your life and in your community has made an impact on you. Pick a year. Just like the land needs care after a harvest, so it is for your heart and soul. And so taking this time to turn inward, you know, try it. We're going to walk through an experience to try to keep ahead of the hustle and bustle, right? But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't matter what time of year, just start it, right? Don't make this another thing to do that feels stressful. But taking time to turn inward to consider where you are in all that has occurred in your own life, in our collective life, and in our world is a priority. There's been a lot. There's always a lot as a human being, but there's been a lot collectively. And so tending to that, what has been revealed to you? What is falling away? What is coming forward? Figuratively, of course, we know that light is so often used to convey a non-material quality of being, that of intelligence, consciousness, awareness, and understanding. Points to the essence of the divine itself, light. When darkness is present with the literal shorter days, we are wise to take time to draw inward. And in times of challenges and uncertainty, we are steadied and supported as we attend to our own inner awakening, to the power and the presence of light of spirit within us, guiding us, comforting us, supporting us, strengthening us. So it is that we spend these weeks attending and attuning to in preparation for the birth of what we call in Unity the Christ consciousness in our awareness. And if we've already attuned to it, this is an opportunity to go deeper, fuller. How would I live each and every day if I knew the source of I had access to the source of all that is? I might be a little less afraid. I might be a little less worried about what's going to happen next week or what happened last week, right? That's the invitation to begin during this. And so it's in times of challenges, in times of busyness, which I hear has become a status symbol. I read something, busyness has become a status symbol. Uh-oh. I'm not going to say anything else. I've fallen for it. It's not worth it. So again, we're mining this story, this fabulous story, including a virgin birth in a barn with animals and shepherds and kings following a star, all quite interesting and magnificent, a setting for the great light of God to be born into the world, born into humanity, into the humble experience, right, in a barn with barn animals. Very, but also with angels and stars. So it's really depicting, it's telling us this has to do with being human and divine. Of course, we've come to just place that on this one person, this one creche. But it is, he goes on to tell the story that this is possible for all of us. But we have to first perceive it and then what? Believe it. That's the inspiration for our faith. Jesus would go on to become known as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, and his life and his teaching show us that he too had to become awake, alert, and attuned to this connection with the one source of all light that he called God the Father. Awakened to and tending to this connection so fully, placing his faith in that first and foremost, he turned to this connection to guide him in all that he did and said, most especially when he was challenged. Not only did he have great faith in the presence and power of God itself as a loving, in his mind, caring Father, but also in his own connection with it, his own ability to ask and receive guidance, inspiration, truth. And this was the key for his demonstrating a life that revealed great love and compassion and wisdom. To the extent that to be in his presence was to be in the presence of God. That is our capacity. I mean, do you sense the hope of that? I keep having thoughts, and notice how I'm not following them. I'm following my notes for a change. You're welcome. So as he mastered that for himself, he formed his greatest lesson for the rest of us. You too are the light of the world. Quit putting your light under a basket. He used the metaphor that they used at that time. You're putting it under the basket of your humanity, and you're focusing on your limits and your fears and your wants and your needs and your whines and your concerns and your... And that's part of your experience, but if you knew who you were, ooh, how you would shine. So we too have to take that time to cultivate that connection, to awaken to it, to attend to it, to call upon it. And these weeks are an invitation to do this more fully, more purposefully. Not just to sit back and say, here comes another Christmas, there goes my credit card, there goes my waistline, right? Here comes diabetes, right? I mean... I know, it happens every year, I swear. I am not going to overdo or overspend or overeat. And by the 28th, I'm like, how's it going? So, and there's part of that that is, you know, we love it, right? So it's like everything, moderation. Moderation and connecting with that intent, that higher purpose of what we're celebrating at all. Eric Butterworth wrote that if this season is to mean anything more than an annual holiday charade, which becomes a pressure-packed and conformity-ridden Christmas celebration, we must take the risk of personal commitment to the discovery of a divine level within our being. It is coming into view of something, usually referring to the coming of Christ traditionally into the mass of people, Christmas. In other words, it is getting prepared for a personal experience or visitation of the Christ in our awareness, the expanded awareness whereby we know a deeper level of who and what we are as expressions of that one source. It is in a metaphysical sense, it can mean to all of us an expectation of and a preparation for the coming into our consciousness of our own divine potential, our own Christ self. And if we would really keep Christmas, it calls for a commitment to let something be born in us, something to happen through us, something expressed of the greater depth of us. I know you've had that experience. And when we are connected with the greater depth of us, the love that we give, the presence that we give, the time that we spend is different. We're not so much needing it to be a certain way or needing ourselves to be a certain way. We're coming to be connected, to connect and to radiate light together. I mean, we may not think of it that way, but that's the experience we have. I know that this can feel hard to do around not only the expectations of the season, but also the changes that occur in life, you know? No Christmas, we're never the same each Christmas, and our life continues to change, right? The children grow up, grandparents pass, parents pass, divorces happen. And it can be tempting to yearn for what was. And I've certainly had that experience. I'm an only child, and both my parents have died young. I think it's important to grieve that, to be present to that, but also then to draw upon new traditions that you can bring that forward into your life and new circles of connecting and loving. Because when we are just thinking it's back here, it can be perpetually heavy and hard. So how can we pull what was that love that we shared, those traditions that we shared, make them our own and bring them forward? And open our circle. Be invited and say yes and have people over, right? Make new circles of family and connection. So as you set your awareness on this Christmas season this year and all that it holds for you as well as all that you may be holding, as Jackie said in our reading, that internal harvest of the past year, all that you have experienced in your life and in your community that has made an impact on you. And as our Advent reading reminded us, Christmas changes for us as we change and life changes. Consider what you really hope to experience. What intention can you hold that would be meaningful for you, that you could, you know, center on as you move through and as things begin to get challenging or busy or stressful? So let's just take a moment. I invite you to just connect. This isn't actually our meditation. Just take a moment to become aware in yourself of all that I've been talking about and connecting with how this lands with you, this invitation to create an intention, something to guide you through, to center you, and above all, to call upon and cultivate the depth of you. So often we get to thinking, well, if this could happen this way and they would do that and then I would do, it's not about doing. We want to center in a way of being. So letting that come forward in you with the light of spirit illuminating your heart and mind, I invite you to consider, what is my hope, my deepest desire for this season? You may think of it as an intention. And never mind if it feels possible. Don't stop with that. Hope ignites our faith faculty, which is our ability to make the possible real. And even before that, to make what seems impossible possible. So you feel into what you hope to experience, what you hope to be, what you hope to, your intention that you want to bring to this season, and don't limit it to the past or what you think is possible. And having found that, you know, over the last month we've been working on connecting more authentically as a community, giving and receiving support. So I'm going to invite you to share this hope with someone. And before you panic or start to think about it too much, you know, we all are where we are, and we're all hoping for what we're hoping for that's meaningful for us. And this is an opportunity to voice that. And really to have someone hear that. So it's an opportunity for our response to be, I'm holding this hope with you, and I see it being realized for you. So I'd like you to find a partner, and please be mindful if someone around you doesn't have one, or if someone feels new and could really help, it would be nice to invite them in, make sure there's no one alone. Can you put the slide up, please? This is the question I want you to share together. What is my hope for this holiday season? Go ahead. And this is the response. I have the response at the bottom. So once the first person has shared, your response is, I'm holding this hope with you, and I see it becoming a reality. So I'll have you wrap that up so we can continue on in our meditation to ground this intention and this hope in fear. By that I mean faith. Everybody complete? Thank you for doing that. It was sweet to see you participating in that. So I just invite you to take a breath. I'll ring that singing bowl again, which drops us from our head to our heart, which we often use as we come into a time of meditation. And so you've got that intention or that hope in your mind, and we're just going to center that in using our faculty of faith, which is our power of perception, conviction, and expectation. So just take a breath. Holding that hope, that intention in your heart, in your mind's eye. And grounding it in this power of faith that we all have, that we all use, whether we know it or not. Now we're consciously, purposefully using it in the direction of perceiving and living as though this were true. A sense of conviction and expectancy. Faith is our power to perceive that this is even possible, and then to live with assurance and expectancy that it is already so. As you center your awareness in that and align your thoughts and your actions with that, it becomes a reality for you, no matter what's going on around you. This is the power of your faith faculty. So no matter what happens around you, you hold that intention, that hope, and trust that you will be guided and supported in not only having it, but being it. You will have an experience of that itself. If you're wanting world peace, you will be a peaceful expression during this holiday season. If you're wanting to stay connected in love, you will be the presence of love. And when you find that you aren't, notice what you're telling yourself, notice what you're thinking, notice what you're focusing on. You have likely drifted off into the story about what's wrong or what could be or what used to be, and just come right back to your intention, to your hope. And move through that next experience as if it were so, because it is in you. Calling upon your power to even perceive this hope as a possibility and align your heart and mind with making it so. Proceeding through these next few weeks with conviction, with expectation. And this is not the work of our individual will, forcing something to be the way we need it to be. So much more than that. This is attuning to our truest, deepest desire, which is behind it all, to know the depth of ourself as love, as peace, as hope, as faith, yes? And so connecting with that, grounding in that, that is your guiding star through these next weeks. As you expand your awareness of the light of truth that lives in and through you, it lights your way more brighter. You no longer need to rely only on your limited perceptions. What is possible for you is expanded through the light and the love of God that flows through you. So we are attuning to that, we are making room for that, and we are claiming it is so. And as we do that, it becomes so. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the movement of God in you. May this be the beginning of you feeling that more freely, more fully, grounding it in the power of faith that is always working with you and through you.
I have faith, I pray faith, I choose faith. I have faith, I have faith, I pray faith, I choose faith, I am faith. When I trust and I let go, I know all is well.
Take a deep breath and open your eyes if you haven't already, bringing your awareness back to this time and space. Next week we will be grounding in the virtue of peace, which I think is a timely one. So thank you all for being here. Jim has made a cake with the attributes of hope, peace, love, and joy for you today. I asked him what flavor it was. He said it was yeller. So thank you for being here. And now is the time in our service where we give of our good in support of all that we do here at Unity Spiritual Center Denver. There are baskets in the back for your cash and check as you're leaving. I know some of you give electronically, and if you'd like to know how to do that in your bulletin, there's a QR code you can scan that will get you started in that process. So know that all that we do here is directly related to all that you give, and so we are grateful. Together we will bless our love offering. Divine love as me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. I am thankful.
My faith will stay, my faith will grow, sometimes fast, sometimes slow, through the wind and through the rain, by your grace my faith will stay. The water comes and I may float, I feel alone without a boat, but then I look across the sea to find a rope reaching to me. In that moment, there's no doubt. When you come in, the fear goes out. And then the truth I finally see. Through the storm, I still believe. My faith will stay, my faith will grow. Sometimes fast, sometimes slow. Through the wind and through the rain, by your grace. But in your wisdom I have grown, greater strength I've ever known. My faith will stay, my faith will grow, sometimes fast, sometimes slow, through the wind and through the rain, by your grace my
Thank you for tuning in today. We hope that you found something meaningful in our service. If you'd like to learn more about us or make a donation in support of what we do here, visit unitydenver.org. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. every Sunday. We hope to see you sometime in person.